You trust him? Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but it was a really good time Sunday night. And, you know, people were having a good time. We all were having a good time. And I get quite amused at people sometimes. I'm trying to get this thing turned on where it's right. And sometimes people, you know, they make all kinds of statements. Somebody got on the Instagram, whatever it was, and they were saying, "Oh, man, I can't believe a Pentecostal church would have a movie on a Sunday night." And I told my wife, I said, "I think we're the only church in town that has a Sunday night service." And then besides that, they said Brother Hagin would turn over in his grave. It made me so mad I wanted to go tell the person, "You don't even know what you're talking about, person." I remember years and years ago when Tampa Bay was in the Super Bowl. That was not this time, but years ago. And he was in Crusades down in Florida in that area, and he knew everybody wanted to see it. So he switched his Sunday night service, and he wanted to see it too. So he switched his Sunday night service from 2 to 4 in the afternoon on Sunday so everybody could watch the Super Bowl. You know, but if you were there and watched that movie, Pastor Bill over there, he said, "Man, there were 5 different sermons in that one movie." I mean, how many of you realize that there was some truth in there about trusting God? And I enjoyed it. I don't know about y'all, but I enjoyed it. And we're gonna have more things. I think they got something else coming up in July. I don't think it's going to be a movie, but it's going to be, you're going to like it. We'll be announcing it. All right. You know, sometimes people get in trouble and in distress, and they think maybe that everything's over. And it looks that way. You know, today we're surrounded on every side by people that are trying to take God away from us, trying to take Christianity away. And we see wars and fighting and violence and crime and people rising against people. You know, David found himself in this situation one time. Psalm chapter 3, I'm going to read from both New King James and then the NLT because I think you understand a little better. "Lord, how they increased who trouble me. Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say of me, 'There is no help for him in God.' But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill." Now, NLT says it a little more like we would say it. "Oh, Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. But you, oh, Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain." Now, you got to understand where David was when he wrote this psalm. It was a time that he had to flee from Jerusalem. It was a time when his own son Absalom, however you say it, I can't even talk tonight, can I? He had so stirred up the people against his father that David had to run from Jerusalem off of the throne, running for his life. You know, Adam Clark says, we are told that the hearts of all Israel went after Absalom. And that's in 2 Samuel 15:13. David is astonished to find such a sudden and general revolt. Not only the common people, but the counselors also, and many of his chief captains. Now he finds himself in this is a pretty distressful situation when your own son has had a coup and is trying to take over the throne. He was in great distress. He was in great trouble. It looked like he would never sit on the throne again. It seemed like that all that God had given him had been stolen from him. And it seemed like this was the end. Anybody ever found yourself in the same kind of situation? I see several people shaking their head and raising their hands. You know, where it looked like the blessings of God had all been stolen from you. Where it looked like it was all over but the crying. And maybe you might be there right now. But I want you to know that God will lift your head and God will lift you out of your trouble. God is not surprised. God is never surprised about anything. You know, let's read that Psalms 3, 1 and 2 again. I want to read it again. I'm going to read the NLT. Oh Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. Now, you know, many times when you're in a situation and you're believing God, have you ever noticed how many people will come to you and some people, maybe not, some people will come to you and say, I know God delivered you before, but it don't look like it's going to happen this time. Anybody ever had that happen? Yeah. You see, he said, there's many, so many are saying God will never rescue him. You see, the reason the enemy brings people like that to put thoughts in your head is to get you to quit trusting God. I don't know if you've ever been at a trial or not, but defense attorneys are very good at saying something from getting the person to answer a question. And then the other attorney says, I object. The judge says, yes. And he tells the court reporter that's recording everything to strike that from the record. That attorney knows what he's doing. They're going to strike it from that record, and if you go read the report, it won't be there. But when those jurors go in that jury room, they can't take that out of their head. That's why they say it, to get them to doubting. That's what the enemy there. That's why, see, people coming around saying, God will never help you. This is one time it's not going to happen. Why? To get you thinking the wrong way. And there's a book back there in that bookstore called Right and Wrong Thinking. Right thinking brings results. Wrong thinking brings nothing. Brings trouble. Here, you know, sometimes it seems like we're surrounded by everybody that's saying it can't happen. And I tell them it can happen. You've got to be strong in the midst when everything is coming against you and saying it's not happen, it can't happen, it won't happen. You got to stand there and say, it will happen, it will happen, it can happen, and it's going to happen. Come on now. You know, a lot of times, have you ever found out that people sometimes try to put you down so they can be lifted up? I've seen this many, many, many times. You know, people try to discredit you. They do that all the time. You go read some of this junk on Facebook, on my name, and they've got all kinds of junk there. Somebody said, "That bother you?" No, don't bother me, because most of it's not true. And the part that's on there, they've twisted it to make it something that it's not. So I don't care. I'm doing what God told me to do. And God's still my God, and God will take care of me. I'm not going to be concerned about them, because God is my source. God is my helper. I want you to realize tonight that sometimes people try to write us Christians off, and I don't mean this wrongly, but they try to write us off as ignorant for believing God and trusting God. Anybody ever seen that or heard that? They try to tell us that we're unqualified for anything and so forth and so on. And it seems like trouble's on every hand, that, on every situation. But I want you to know, let's look at Psalms 21:11. Go look at Psalms 21:11. Now, I'll go read it from the New King James and then the New Living. "For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform." Now, I like the way the NLT says it. "Although they plot against you, their evil schemes will never succeed, for they will turn and run when they see the arrows aimed at them." Come on now. We need to realize that although people plot against us, although the enemy brings things against us that are evil and schemes that try to get us away from the things of God, they never will succeed if you will not give up on the promises of God. But it's up to you whether the evil schemes that the enemy's bringing against you, it's up to you whether they are able to come to pass or not. Not up to God. Not up to the devil. It's up to you to stand your ground with the word of God. When I was in high school they would tell me, they say, "Now, Hagin, listen, you're up against the number one defensive back, or you're up against the number one track runner today. Just do the best you can." Man, I don't tell you what, I didn't say it to them, but man, I dug my heels in and said, "You just hide and watch." That's when the enemy comes in with all telling you everything he's going to do and what's going to happen. That's when you got to dig in and just quote the word and stand on the word. It may not look like it on paper, but I'm going to tell you what, you can do it. So many times when their teams are meeting against one another, they look at the players. And they got to look at all these players, and they look at these players, and these players are more talented and so forth. And on paper, they say, "Hey, this team is the talented team." Do you know what? Even though they look good on paper, hey, it don't matter what happens, no matter what the paper says, it's what happens on that field that's what counts. It don't matter whether somebody's supposed to be good or not. I've been up a lot against a lot of guys that was supposed to be a whole lot better than me, but when it was all said and done, I was the one in the winner's circle. Number one is because I just don't believe I can be defeated, and I won't quit. I had a coach tell me one time, he said, "Hagin, what I like about you is," he said, "you're on the other side of the field, and if somebody intercepts a pass and they're going," he said, "you will run as hard as you can run, and you will not stop until that guy crosses the goal line." I said, "No, because I might have a chance. He might stumble. He might fumble the ball. I might have a chance to get him." I said, "I'm never going to quit." See, we've got to be that way with the things of God. the enemy, he may have stolen the ball from us and look like he's stolen all our blessings. Hey, keep after him. Don't back up and say, oh, well, I guess it's not going to work this time. Yes, it will work if you will keep up. Oh, man, hallelujah, glory to God. Look at that. Now let's go back. Let's go back there to Psalms 3:3. Let's go back to Psalms 3:3. Psalms 3:3. And in the King James it says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head." But in the NLT it says, "But you, Lord, you are a But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high." Shield. What is a shield? It's protection. A shield is something that you use to protect. If you go read about the armor that you're supposed to have every day, the shield of faith, quench the fiery darts of the enemy. He is our shield. It says here, he's a shield. You are a shield around me. If you got a shield around you, why worry? The devil can't get through. It doesn't matter what somebody says. I don't care. Somebody told me that. You know what they said about you? I said, I don't care. It can't bother me. It may bother you, but it don't bother me. Come on now. See, we give glory to God because he's our shield. He is protecting us when we can't see it, we don't feel it. Everybody else is saying it can't happen. He is the one that is our deliverer because he's our shield. He's the one who turns our hopeless situation into victory because he's our shield. He's the one that causes our enemies to run from us. There it says, resist the devil. James says, resist the devil and he'll run from you. Or actually the word flee is in there when that word means run as if in terror. With our shield, when he's our shield that is around us, he is the one that restores to us what's been stolen from us. I believe that. That's when, in the middle of that, because we know the shield is around us, we give glory to God because we know that he's holding our head up. He's holding us high. He's raising us against above the despair. He's raising you up out of depression. He's raising you up out of distress. He's raising you up out of trouble. You know, man, you know, they always tell you, hold your head high. No matter what happens, hold your head up. You know, you can tell when somebody defeated. I mean, we used to, we was on the sideline, we'd say, hey, look how they're walking off the field after something had happened. I mean, we look at one another and say, hey, we got this. The score, we might be behind on the scoreboard, but if they're walking off the field like with their head down, right, I can tell you right now, they say, uh-oh, it's all over. Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys should know what I'm talking about. How many of you have ever seen the other team walk into the huddle or walk into the side with their head down? Did that inspire you or not? Yeah, because you know, hey, we got this. Listen, let me tell you why. God's holding our head up. Saying, hey, you got this. You know, with our head lifted up, we can give glory to God. You know, with our head lifted up, God brings us encouragement. telling you it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. You know, when he lifts our head up, he gives us the comfort of all of his promises. When he lifts our head up, he builds in us with the word of God that we are overcomers. We can't go over. We can't go under for going over. When he lifts our head up, something happens. What happens? When he lifts us up, lifts our head up, our perspective changes. And we're able to see the possibility instead of the problem. Excuse me. When our heads are lifted up, our thoughts change. Our thinking change. We begin to think about what God said instead of what's going on and what everybody else is saying and what this is happening and that's happening. Hey, with our head, him holding our head up, lifting our head, it says here, "You who holds my head high." Hey, all of a sudden, our expectancy changes. We begin to believe that it can happen, even though the current circumstances say us it can't happen. Yeah, our God is a mighty God, and he'll lift us up. He'll lift us out of our troubles. That's what David is saying here. Now, let's go here. Let's go look at verse 3, 4. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I like it here in NLT. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. That's on high. God is ready to do mighty things for us, but we've got to lift our voice. I've said it many, many times to people. I got it from the fellow I'm named after, Kenneth Hagin. I got it from him. I've heard him many, many times. He'd tell people, you know, to pray about something, and they'd start, "Oh, Lord." He'd say, "Open your mouth." I've seen him do it. "Open your mouth and say it loud enough that they can hear you in the back of the church." "Oh, I don't want nobody else to know about it." He said, "You need to let somebody know about it. You need to let the devil know that you got the victory no matter what's happening." So many times people want to be quiet. They want to pray in a whisper. Lift your voice. You know, I've been preaching for 62 years, and I can get really loud, and I'm not even straining yet. I can get even louder than that, and I'm not straining yet. I can get louder than that, and I'm not even straining yet. With a loud voice, lift your praise to God. Let everybody know he's your God. And that he's going to deliver you. It doesn't matter what it looks like, sounds like, smells like, or anything else. God is lifting my head and holding me high. I can't go under for going over. See, God wants us to trust him to be our shield and trust him to hold us up. He wants us to call on him for help. It says here, I cried to the Lord and he answered me from the holy hill, holy mountain. Hey, we got to lift our voice and ask. You know, the word of God says you don't have because you don't ask. You have to ask. Ask God. "Oh, well, God knows what I need. If he wants to, he'll give it." No, you got to ask him. When you ask him, it releases the power. So many people say, "Well, if he wants me to have it, he'll give it to me." He already gave it to you in the word. All you got to do is possess it. How do you possess it? By opening your mouth and talking. If you say to the mountain, "Be removed, be cast in the sea," does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, he'll have whatever he says. Come on now. Hey, see, God wants us to use the name. The name that's above every name. He said he'd given Jesus a name that was above every name. He wants us to use that name, the name of Jesus. It's important to learn to use the name of Jesus. It's important. I end all of my prayers in the name of Jesus most of the time. Why? Because the power, everything that we have is because of what Jesus done at Calvary. It all rests back to him. You know, in the Word of God, there's a whole bunch of scriptures that assures us that God hears us when we pray, when we ask. Maybe I should say it that way. Look at, you know, we all know 2 Chronicles. We all know 2 Chronicles 7:14. Everybody knows it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. NLT says it like this. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Here it says he will humble himself and pray, he'll hear us. Now, turn back there to Psalms. Psalms 4:3. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. The NLT says, you can be sure of this. The Lord set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call to him. Then look at Psalms 17:6. And the New King James says, I call upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. It says here in the end of the town, I am praying to you because I know you will answer. I like that better than the other. I am praying to you because I know you will answer. O God, bend down and listen as I pray. In other words, hear what I'm saying. Isaiah 65:24. Now I'm just going to read a few of these. There's a whole lot of scriptures that talk about Isaiah 65:24. There it is. All right. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're still speaking, I will hear. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. Amen. Then look at John 9:31. It says, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he will hear him. It's a little more clear here in NIT. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Now there's a couple of words here that are very, 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 very important. But he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. There's a lot of people worshiping God, but they're not doing what he told them to do. That's doing his will, what he's told you to do. Being faithful where he's got you right now. Yeah, but I want to do this or I want to do that. Great. If you want to do something else or you feel like God's got something, you better be faithful where you are, because if you're not faithful where you are, he can't use you. Come on now. Who's the guy that gets promoted at work? The guy that's faithful. The guy that does what he's supposed to do, even goes the extra mile. You know, I was at a, years ago with my father-in-law, a bunch of us were at, we had gone to a sectional meeting for our section, our denomination. And so we were sitting around talking, and one guy asked, he said, "Who do you guys, when you're looking for somebody to do something in the church, who do you call on?" My father, never get to my father said, "The person that's doing the most in the church." And the other guy said, "Well, why don't you ask him? They're already busy." He said, "Because I know they'll get the job done." Hello. Some people don't realize it, but they're not going to, if you standing at the punch out clock 5 minutes ahead of time, don't ever think you're going to get promoted. Because they know that you're not, you know, or you clock in at the very last second. Come on now, don't look at me like that. I'm telling you the truth. I don't do it. I don't do it, but I have done it in the past, years and years ago, when I was in charge of some things. I'm still in charge of everything, but I mean, there was one time when I was in charge of everything. I did it all. I took the money in for Rhema. I deposited it back when we didn't have the church, just had the school. And I would watch people. If they were the last one to clock in and always the first one out the door at closing time, I said, "I'm not interested in promoting them because they won't do what's necessary." I teach and I do it myself. I do what's necessary to keep the ministry going. I don't care if I'm staying up all night or what it is. I do what's necessary to keep the ministry going. They used to have a picture down in the maintenance building of me underneath a pew with a sweeper sweeping, that's when we opened this building, getting this building ready. They did have pictures of me. Some of y'all, how many of y'all remember when we had to set up the NRC over there for church? Any of you ever remember me over there with a ratchet wrench putting that platform together? Yeah, see, I do what's necessary, and when you do things in the will of God, the will of God, and you go there, God notices it. I don't know why I got off on that, but I'm not going to take it back. It was all good. 1 John 5:14. He says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will," there's the will in there again, "he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask him." NLT says, "And we are confident," I like that word, "that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him." When you ask for what he's already said belongs to you in the word, that's pleasing to him. "And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask." That starts to sound like Mark 11:23, doesn't it? See, we can be sure that God hears us. God is always ready to hear. He never takes a vacation. He's ready to hear us. There's no one like our God. It's time to lift our voice and call upon him. Begin to say what the word says. Begin to say what God can do. Begin to say, if you need it, begin to say, "God is my deliverer." If you need it, you need to say, "God's going to lift me out of this situation." Begin to say, "God is for me and no one else can stand up against me." It's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Stand up and say, "God has redeemed me from destruction." Stand up and say, "God is my strength. I can endure. I can overcome. Stand up with the cry of faith and begin to cry out to God. See, the cry of faith will deliver you. The cry of faith, at the cry of faith, God goes into action. At the cry of faith, the heavenly forces assemble. They come to attention. They're ready to be dispatched to bring us whatever we need. Today is the day that you need to start crying out to God and knowing that He will hear you and He will set you free. It's time to stand on your feet and give a shout to your Lord and your God. Like David said, He's my shield. He will protect me. He keeps me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you today that you lift our head, that you hold us up, that you pull us out of despair. You pull us out of anything that the enemy throws at us. We thank you for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You got anything you want to sing? I think you do. What do you got?
So these words just came to me.
You just got it while I'm preaching?
You're preaching, yeah.
All right, let's hear it.